So we won the evangelicals. We won with young. We won with old. We won with highly educated. We won with poorly educated. I love the poorly educated. We're the smartest people. We're the most loyal people.
I know. I get emails all the time. Rick, you got to stop playing Donald Trump saying his own words. We'll think he's stupid or something. Yesterday, again, Donald Trump was asked during the, I don't really think it was a press conference, but the little gaggle they had there in France. He was asked about Junior, and he said, and about the big meeting that happened with the Russian lawyer with ties to the Kremlin, who now we find out had a plus one, and that plus one was a former Russian spy. You know, never mind. But the Donald said, from a practical standpoint, most people would have taken that meeting. It's called opposition research, or research into your opponent. Again, and my initial thought is no, most people wouldn't have taken that meeting, Donald. Just the idiot that you've got as a son. Sad, sad stuff. But here to talk a little bit about this and whatever else we can bang into, I've asked Adam Parker Micro to come talk with us. He was a former aide to Hillary Clinton and also the founder of Ready for Hillary. Adam, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me on your show again. I appreciate it.
So anybody takes this meeting, do you take it?
I think he's right. I think anybody in the Trump family or Trump orbit takes the meeting. But I think if we take a hard look at this one, you know, clearly this is not opposition research, as anyone in the political world knows. And two, we've got at least, you know, one example to point to from 2000 where, authorities were contacted when something was received. And this is just not something, that I could ever comprehend and understand why anyone would do, although it's pretty clear why they did it. And I think what's more amazing about this is, this just happens to come out of one story reported from the New York Times, and then we get additional information. So it is one meeting on one day, and, you know, the larger question here is, you know, what other meetings and calls happened on other days? But I think this huge bombshell, it's not a scoop. What it really has done is put a marker on the ground in terms of the timeline that's being built out, and I think that the fact that this was on June 9th, which was less than 3 days before Julian Assange went on UK television for the first time to announce that he was going to have Hillary leaks. And then on June 15th, Guccifer 2.0 launched a WordPress. The timeline is really kind of starting to come together.
Are you surprised at how the GOP and how really the voices on the right are trying to normalize this? I mean, I got to be honest, I'm a little shocked at, people that I know who have the reflexive, but Hillary, or, anyone would do it, or, politics is a rough sport. Are you surprised?
You know, I commend the individuals on the right who that have a voice, but are not in a position to do more than speak out. People like Weaver and Rick Wilson and Stuart Stevens. And actually, twice in the last week, Joe Walsh has come out and said, one, this isn't fake news. This is a self-inflicted wound. And two, he re-upped his statement in regards to, Russia and what they did that he made in December, and stands by it. So I rarely ever agree with Joe Walsh, but you've got a handful of people that are unexpected coming out and, saying the same thing. And I think that, Grassley has got to be held accountable here. I just tweeted out a few minutes ago a letter regarding the newest attendee that we've learned of from the June 9th meeting. And Grassley actually put out a 17-page letter in regards to him on April 4th, which states very clearly that this is someone who, is trained in active measures and what his training is and who he is. So I was talking to someone the other day who made a really good point to me, and talking about the GOP and basically said, you got to give them credit for being a giant obstructionist, no matter who's in the White House. And I think that is on full display right now.
That's a good point. But, you know, here's the thing. Does it matter if, as the New York Post said, you know, Junior's just an idiot? Does it matter if they really wanted something? Does it matter if the intent were there? I mean, because at the end of this, even if there was nothing in the meeting, you know, it could have been just about puppies and unicorns for all we know. The appearance of that there was something there, in my view, is something that could be used to blackmail or to hold over their heads. So, I mean, it seems like, you know, they've gotten themselves into a world of possible trouble. And you got to wonder how many of these other meetings are being held over their head.
Yeah, absolutely. So absolutely it matters. And you know, there's been so much testimony. Sometimes it's hard to point to which one. But there was testimony this year where sort of the question you just raised was asked. And the point from the intelligence committee that was made was that whether you were it's the question we all have. Is this president just a complete moron, or is he actively doing this, or is it both? I think a lot of people think that it's the former and the latter. It's a combination of both. But what the IC intelligence committee has said is that it doesn't matter, because there becomes a point where even if you're just an idiot and you've gone along with this stuff, what's happening now is they continue to mislead by leaving out information, leaving out key points, leaving out key individuals who attended, things like that. I think that's on full display here with Trump Jr., who, quote unquote, you know, wanted to put this letter out, this email chain out before the New York Times was going to, so that, you know, he didn't give them the light of day in doing that, just because they can't stand the New York Times. And the precedent here, there's a lot of it. You know, I was looking back at the Ken Starr case a couple days ago, and you know, one thing that happened in 1998 was the United States Secret Service was pushing back very hard in fighting Ken Starr's request to have Secret Service testify. And the court ruled in favor of Ken Starr for Secret Service to testify. And when you think of the campaign and all of these meetings that Donald Trump was having, he was under Secret Service protection for a large part of it. And so Secret Service has logs of individuals he met with. Those are typically names, even if they're off-the-record meetings, that need to be submitted within 24 hours, or if it's a meeting that's taken place later. So those movements, those meetings, those individuals, Secret Service is going to probably have a large part of the kind of timeline that they've had to track, and there's precedent for them being part of this investigation.
Again, you know, it comes around to bite them in the behind, but do you really think that they told Donald, I mean, Manafort, I keep going back to Manafort, because you can say that that Junior's an idiot. You can say that Kushner's naive and green, but highly ambitious. But Manafort's the guy who should have known better.
I think if you look at the team that Trump has put together and his continual denials throughout the campaign of any ties to Russia, any friendship with Putin, and what we're seeing now, which, you know, validates what many have alleged in terms of his financial ties to Russia and his long relationship. I think one of the most fascinating, I always try to look at stuff that people aren't kind of pointing out, but we know in the political world, just because of outside groups and FEC rules and regulations, or kind of precedent for cooling off periods and things like that. I actually think that one of the most interesting things no one's talking about is the fact that Roger Stone left. He denied being fired, this, that, the other. I actually think it was Roger Stone removing himself from the campaign to work on the outside on behalf of Trump. And I don't think there was anything more than that. I think, you know, whether you want to point to a cooling off period, or, you know, you were still we're still outside that window of the days where you're not supposed to coordinate on the outside if you're with an official independent expenditure, for instance. But I think Roger Stone smartly and knowingly removed himself from the campaign so that he was not an agent of the campaign to do whatever it was that he was going to do.
Yeah. And shouldn't the larger conversation than this, Adam, be how how intertwined a lot of our wealth class and a lot of our, you know, media is with Russian interests. I mean, you know, at some point, you know, you keep seeing both on the right and the left, there's Russian money. There's these oligarchs who are dabbling in our media. And at some point, don't we have to have that conversation as well, beyond what Trump did and what Junior did and that, but, you know, how they've kind of infiltrated, you know, our shores?
Absolutely. I think that you kind of hit the nail on the head here, because we need to be able to do multiple things at the same time in parallels. Obviously, the more that we talk about Russia and the more that we talk about specific news articles that are coming out, it appears the less that Americans are focused on what Mitch McConnell's doing in the Senate with healthcare, you know, what they're going to try to do with these tax credits. But I think the scariest piece here, and I kind of posted this last night, you know, when you look at the words of Eric Holder, where he's now twice tweeted, you know, basically to the men and women of DOJ and the FBI, and they know what their job is and what they need to do. What happened in 2016, which we are, you know, learning more and more about every single day, is going to happen and continues to happen every day online, but it's going to be gearing up for the 2018 midterms. And I don't even think it's a line of succession anymore. You know, so many people are implicated in this, but we have to figure out exactly what happened and figure out how we can deal with that moving forward, especially within, you know, speaking as a Democrat, especially within the state of the country where Republicans are controlling everything right now. I know there's small wins where, you know, the DLCC just picked up the two special elections, state House, state Senate seat in Oklahoma, one of which was a seat that we hadn't had since, you know, the early 1990s.
Right.
All of that needs to continue to happen, but this is what just happened is going to happen again in the 2018 cycle, hopefully to a lesser extent if we can really learn how to combat that and get to the bottom of it. And I think there's a lot of really interesting groups out there, you know, that are non-political, like the Atlantic Council. I just came back from Warsaw, Poland, and was out there, and they did this, what they call digital Sherlock's meeting as part of the forensic lab that the Atlantic Council runs. And you know, we were talking about RT and Sputnik and how American readers don't read that. Well, the truth was, we had a presidential candidate who was taking those stories and reading them out loud in speeches. And now we're learning that, you know, the fake news was targeted down to the precinct level. And this is, you know, it's going to happen again this cycle, hopefully to a lesser extent if we can figure out a way to combat it.
Yeah, and Jared Kushner was a big part of that, doing some of the targeting. Let me ask you this, because, you know, I'm seeing now Wednesday, and I'm sure you know this, but Wednesday was a big, you know, internet day of action to fight to maintain net neutrality. I find it interesting that from the right wing, what they're saying now is that that was all done by the Russians. The Russians want net neutrality because they want our elections. They want to be able to meddle while simultaneously saying that the Russians didn't meddle. Do you find that interesting?
Not only interesting, but there's no coincidences anymore, in my opinion. And if you want to add a third layer to it, you got Trump and Putin in a over 2-hour meeting where one of the things that comes out is that maybe we're going to be able to work together on fighting cyber issues. You know, I mean, that to me is just one of the most the scariest, and
you could say it was asinine. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's asinine. I mean, what are we going to do? We're going to share additional information that we have with them now, so they can, you know, sharpen the way that they're doing this. And it's you know, Trump is so focused on his own reelection, and we're only 175 days in to his first election, that he can't do anything to push back on Putin, not just because of all of the other things that are coming out in terms of financial ties and, you know, potential, you know, videos and other things like that. But the other piece here is he wants Putin to do exactly what he did in 2016 for him again in 2018 and 2020. So why would he do anything to get in the way of that if it's going to help him control everything that he's in control of, as well as potentially you know, take more seats.
At the end of it, it comes back to us, doesn't it? It comes back to, you know, check, like I tell my kids, whenever you read something, check the source. Know where it came from, know who it came from, and only believe it if it's from trusted sources. And, you know, I can't tell you how many of these emails I get, even today, of people just forwarding on, because, hey, they sound good, and yet you look at these propaganda pieces that are really think tank tested, you know, focus group approved, and it's amazing how well they've done and how easily we've been manipulated, I think.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they did, was, you know, focused their targeting on areas where, you know, Hillary was potentially weak or there were holes, and they were flooding fake news. And that news was that Hillary Clinton was mentally and physically in bad shape, that, you know, she was quote-unquote corrupt, and that she had Islamic extremist ties. And those were the things that they were flooding these targeted stories with to change the perceptions of voters and change the vote.
Now, let me ask you the last question I've got for you, because I went to both conventions, and the talk about, you know, Trump and Russia was all over the place. I mean, at the Republican convention, it was almost an open secret. At the Democratic convention, people were saying, when's the media going to focus on this? You know, as a former aide to Hillary Clinton, is there anything that's going to come that you know of? Because I keep hearing my Republican friends say, but Hillary met with the Russians. Anything in your knowledge that there was some of these meetings maybe on her side?
No, absolutely not. I mean, Lauren Dillon, who's been the research director of the DNC for 4 years, tweeted out, I think maybe 48 hours ago, you know, that she has never once had any such communication or meeting, you know, in the 4 years that she's been the research director, and she still is. We're not hearing about meetings coming out that, you know, private meetings that were covered up with the Trump campaign that they were having with, you know, France and the UK and Germany. I mean, this is just, it's like now we're hearing about over 100 foreign contacts that Kushner left off. You know, if it was one or two things, and we got Sessions, who is the head of DOJ and can't even, or head of, you know, is the AG and can't even be involved in any of these. And I question whether he still is or isn't. You know, our campaign, if we had heard any communication such as that, they would have been forwarded immediately to the FBI. And I thought it was interesting that Julian Assange reached out to Trump Jr. and asked if he could publish the email chain that Trump Jr. had. You know, I post the question online after that. Did any Democrats receive communication or calls from Julian Assange requesting if he could publish their emails online? So even, you know, even that tweet to me is just, I can't even understand what his gain is from doing that. I mean, is there a pre-existing relationship that he's making publicized now, where it's as if, you know, nobody just reached out to Trump Jr. and asked if he could, if I could publish the emails, but he decided to do it himself within hours of my call. I think that, you know, speaks in of itself pretty big.
It seems like every day there's a new, to use the John McCain frame, a new shoe falling off of this centipede that never seems to run out of legs.
It truly is a constitutional crisis, and it continues to get worse and worse. And when I said 175 days, I think it's, you know, 1,286 days, you know, until January 20th, 2021. It's pretty scary. I mean, we're barely into this presidency, and you know, my hope is that he is not president through that remaining 1,000 plus days. But when you look at how little time has gone by and how much has come out, I think that, you know, one, Democrats are now the defenders and only defenders of the Constitution. And two, we have to put faith in Mueller. And I think that Mueller is probably one of the kind of luckiest and best options we could have possibly had to have been appointed, because he knows the men and women inside that building. There might be some new folks that have come and, you know, rose up the ranks since he left. But he knows who he can trust to work on certain projects and, you know, what their capabilities and specialties are. And I imagine he was able to move pretty quickly after being appointed to that position.
Well, I got to tell you, you've just depressed me as all can be. Thanks for that.
Thank
We're
you.
We're only a short period into this. Adam, I appreciate you taking some time for us. Love to have you come back and talk with us again.
Anytime, and thanks for all that you do.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Adam Parker-Meco. Again, you know, nobody, I don't think anybody takes that meeting. Sorry, Donald, not buying it. Quick break, right back after this. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. I'm the talk.
Making the blue blood see red. The Rick Smith Show.